Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we invite you, God, into this place. But most important, Lord, we invite you into our hearts. God, would you lay fertile soil, God? Would you make tender our hearts? And God, would you teach us, God, from your word? And may your spirit, Lord, guide us into all truth and awaken us, God, to your love, God, your hand, and bring peace, God, to this new year, God, as we endeavor, God, to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to be talking about discipleship training because we have, I think, members discipleship training, we have leaders discipleship training, and so a lot of, you know, training that will happen throughout the year. And so today is a part of a four-part series. Robert and I will kind of alternate this month to talk about discipleship and the elements of discipleship. And today I'm going to talk about why discipleship training, particularly the training part. And I hope that the Spirit of God convinces you and leads you into that. So this is a word cloud. And it has a lot to do with training, you know. And there's some really good ones. The work you put in when no one is watching shows up on game day. Discipline beats motivation. You don't rise to the occasion. You fall to the level of your training. So a lot of good stuff. You know, no pain, no gain. It is saying one thing, I think. And there's a sense of it analogically. You know, we have a sense that hard things, to achieve hard things, requires training. And so therefore, when we read Matthew 28, the Great Commission, we get a sense of what Jesus is getting after here. So let's read. Go, it's our main verse, therefore, and make disciples. So, make disciples is the main verb. There are three participles, three other verbs that support the main verb. One is go, and the other one is baptizing, and the other one is teaching. So if you can read it, we baptize, or we make disciples by doing these three things. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe, and here's the really interesting part, all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So, the all that I have commanded you part, and we're going to get a sense of that as we go through, but when we look at the Great Commission, he's talking about the idea of what it'll be like coming into the kingdom and coming into the kingdom and to live in the kingdom requires training. So if you say, what is the gospel? What was the invitation of Jesus? What was the good news? What was the good news of Jesus? When you read Mark 1:15, it says, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe in the gospel. So the good news of Jesus Christ is not that if you become a Christian, that you're going to have a pleasant life. That's not the good news. The good news is that you're going to live in this amazing place with an amazing person, and you'll be trained to do so. So the training part is part of this invitation of the gospel. It's like just like this. So, you know, here's the good news. We invite you. Now, if I'm a recruiter for the military, we invite you. And then I remember this. I was flying medevac at the time, and we had the special forces come, right, to our unit. And they were recruiting aviators, because we, you know, and they were like, saying, hey, if you fly with us, and they were showing all this amazing video, you know, going into, you know, like secretly, you know, doing stuff. I mean, they're the ones who got Osama bin Laden, right? And they were recruiting people. And it was like amazing. Everybody's like, wow, that's like, that's an amazing, you know, like, I think I want to join. And then now medevac pilots, you know, we sleep in the unit at night because we were part of the 911 system. So when, you know, you get called, you know, you have to get ready within 10 minutes and be out the door. So we're not used to like good sleep a lot, right? Because everybody's always getting injured. There's always an accident or something. So then this amazing video, recruiting video came on. And then at the end, their motto was, we own the night. Then everybody just like, oh, no, okay, no, no. They train like inverse. They train at night and they sleep during the day. I mean, that's just special ops. But it was too hard. This amazing thing required too much, too much. Same thing with the Marines. The recruiters tell you, hey, become a Marine or, you know, join the military or join this and join that. They don't tell you that it'll be hard. You got all the benefits if you retire, you know. I sound like I'm complaining right now. But anyway, same thing with sports. You know, you watch the Olympics because I want that, right? I want that. I remember, like, I wanted to really dunk a basketball. I didn't have the height to dunk a basketball naturally. Then I realized the guys my height that dunks basketballs, the level of effort required for people who are under 6 feet tall to dunk a basketball is incredible. Everybody wants to dunk a basketball unless you realize what it takes. So therefore, this idea here, all that I have commanded, is like almost impossible. But is it? It's not impossible with God, but it does require training. It does require training. So we're going to first talk about train towards holiness as a means. So there's four things I'm going to go over today. The first one is train towards holiness. Now, holiness, I think, you know, we've covered this multiple times. Holiness is a superlative. It means uncommon. It means the greatest. I mean, this is like literally a definition from the internet. The greatest, highest, most intense degree of something. So like if you have a yearbook, I mean, the superlatives is like most likely to succeed. The smartest kid in school, you know, the nerdiest. You know, you have all these like superlatives. So when it comes to God's character, he is the mostest, the greatest. That's what holiness means. And so understanding that, we get to this idea. Now, what God doesn't require, right? Here's a phrase I heard and I thought, you know, I think the derivative of this is actually in the military as well. It says, trying is not training. What they don't say in the military is, come, just try it out. You ever hear, you know, you're like, wow, why don't they just, like, they would get more people. See if it's for you. No military will do that. You have to sign a contract that you're going to, like, sign up, stay put for a while. It took me, I had a 10-year commitment in the military. I had ROTC scholarship thing, and then I had flight school stuff, and I was, like, stuck. And every year, I was desperate to get out. It was around the 10-year mark. I was like, you know what? I feel okay. Because Ellen asked me, like, you're so bent on getting out. Why don't you stay in? You know, like, we're talking about having children, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, and then I stayed. Because it took 10 years for me to get used to the idea that I was a soldier. But trying is not training. 1 Peter 1:15 says, but as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. So what God is saying is, this is the heart of God, just so you know. When you read what Jesus talks about, his main topic is about living in the kingdom. All of his parables is about the kingdom. Jesus preaches about what it takes to live in the kingdom, and it requires holiness, because what God is after is the superlative, the most forgiving, the most loving. You know, pray for your enemies, forgive 70 times 7, right? The lady who had, you know, only a penny and like throwing it in, like giving every, like generosity. So what Jesus is saying is not to make you feel bad. It's to give you this idea that what you're joining is this elite group of people, not, you know, smarts or, you know, not skills or, but character. And that God is going to train you and transform you into somebody else, so that in all your conduct, it's just going to seep out. And he says, you shall be holy, for I am holy. You're my child, and I'm holy, and you will be holy, which also means you will be trained to be holy. 1 Timothy 4 says, rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life, and here's the kicker, and also for the life to come. A lot of people think they picture heaven, and they think that heaven is like this amazing Disney World, the Hawaii that we never got to see, you know? And it is, to some extent. It's going to be an amazing place. But the heaven will disappear as heaven as we know it. The earth is going to disappear, and a new kingdom, a new heaven and earth is going to be forged. And for whatever reason, all of those qualities, like being forgiving, being generous, being courageous and brave, taking risk and chances for God, is going to just be absolutely important, because we're going to reign with him for all of eternity. So this life to come is something that's not like, we're not going to go to heaven and then just lounge around. Heaven is where we're going to work. And you're going to love it. It's the dream job. Hebrews 12. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. So training and holiness is linked together. It's absolutely critical that God is training us. How does he do that? For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. So how does God train? Through moments. Through moments. All moments come from the Father. We don't just complain about moments. We are trained by the moments, especially the painful ones. It says, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been what? What? Trained by it. Now, when you face a difficult hurt, a grieving situation, we are not thinking, I need to be trained by this. But the idea of what we're trying to get at is knowing that you're in that moment, knowing that you're in that training situation. Oh, this is good training. Now I got to do something that I'm incapable of doing. I got to be merciful here, but I got to get this dagger out of my back first. You know, I got to pray for people. I got to be generous. I got to be trained by it. That's amazing stuff. But here's the thing. What we get to look forward to, and here's the kicker, transformation. From one degree of glory to another, it's not that training itself does it. It's not your effort. It's that transformation from God comes through training. And you're wondering, why does it have to be like that? Why can't he just zap transformation in us? I don't know. I mean, why did Jesus not zap salvation? Why did he have to come humble himself to the point of death, even death on a cross? There are mysteries I do not understand. But even Jesus learned obedience through suffering. That's what Hebrews says. All right. Train to work out your identity in Christ by differentiating and following true versus false desires as a means to keep our first love in Christ. I know that's long. But it's really about linking your identity in Christ and what it is that you want. Because it's very confusing. I think I want to be, you know, like very popular. I think I want to be very prominent and recognized. I think like we want like absolute security financially. We want, you know, we want a lot of things. And in of themselves, a lot of these things aren't bad. But what is it that you truly want? That's who you are. So you can see Paul talk like that. For I do not understand my own actions. For I, you know, here's the thing. He identifies with his true self versus this other entity that's like a parasite to him. For I do not do what I want. It doesn't say, you know, that it's, he doesn't, this thing that he's doing, he doesn't identify with it. But I do the very thing I hate. Matter of fact, he says that what he's doing, he hates it. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. So he takes that, what he's doing, and he's like blaming the flesh. And you're thinking, oh, is that a blame game here that Paul's playing? No, he's placing it in the true light of his own identity in Christ. For I have the desire to do what is right. He's saying that's what he wants, but not the ability to carry it out. Notice this. I want to be holy. I want to be trained. I don't have the goods. I don't have the power. I don't have the strength. You know, I don't have, when I'm caught in temptation, I just don't got it. And that's good. The first order of business is really understanding that you don't want those things. We're so confused. It's like, oh, you know, like I want to get rid of this. You know, I don't want to watch this. I don't want this. We're confused because it's hard for us to just give it up. But like New Year's resolutions, so hard because, you know, oh, because we're just like, oh, yeah, but if I commit to it, you know, it's like, do I really want that? Of course you want that. Of course you want that. If it's good, if it's for the Lord, you want it. You want to make those commitments. But it's so confusing, but it's going to be hard. And, you know, what you're saying is this flesh is saying, ah, you don't want that. You don't want that. Okay. He does it again in Galatians. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Again, he distances himself from desires of the flesh with himself. It's this thing that's trying to confuse me to make me think that that's what I want. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep what? You, the true you, from doing the things you want to do. Notice that. It is so, now, as I say this, Henry can't convince you of this, by the way. If the Holy Spirit is moving, and you're like getting a sense of there's a duality in my mind from what I want, what I think I want, what I am pursuing versus, well, who I truly am and what I want, that is only by the Holy Spirit. Number three. Train to stay faithful in trial or flee escape temptation on the path to obedience. Now, perasmos is the Greek word here for temptation, but it also means trial and testing. And you're thinking, why is that? Like in English, it's like differentiated, but in Greek, it's not differentiated, just by context. And what it really is, here, let me just give you the elements of a temptation or a trial. There are three elements of a temptation: situation, voice, and then the fleshly desire. One, it's a temptation if the situation and the voice is enticing you to get into that situation. Notice that? That's a temptation. If the voice and the situation triggers that desire, the flesh desire, not you, but the flesh desire to pursue that situation, that's a temptation. A trial, same situation, same elements, situation, voice, but it's trying to get you to get out of that situation. You have to forgive somebody, to love somebody, but instead, your flesh is saying, you don't have to. So you leave, you go somewhere else, or you cancel them, you know, mentally, whatever it is. That's a trial. That's why the Greek word perasmos is saying the same. I mean, it's the same word, has the same elements. Now, you have to train to get out of that situation or into that situation. What I mean by that is, all right, when I was boxing, when I was in the military, I never boxed. I talked about boxing. I loved boxing. So I went and signed up for boxing. And I realized, you know, I was playing, you know, that my legs were a little thicker. You know, I was playing soccer when I was in high school. But a lot of the boxers that were out there who had been boxing before joining the military, they had skinny legs and they had huge upper bodies. And they were like way taller than me and they weighed the same amount. And they were good. I remember when he was like, one of the guys was like punching. My natural tendency was to turn around in boxing. Over time, you know, you have to train yourself to stare at the punches that are coming at you. It's incredible. I remember I was watching this news, and they were saying there was a gunman. It's like a robbery or something. And this guy said, this guy must be in the military, because the news was talking about this guy. Like, they pegged him, the expert pegged him as having military training. Why? Because there was a gunfight. And this guy got up and was moving forward while suppressing fire. Now, you can only do that if you're trained to do that. Because most people will do this, right? Behind a barrier, you know, shoot like that. That's natural instinct. You have to train to get up in danger and move forward. It's not intuitive, right? In that situation requires training. Here's another situation. Just telling my wife this. I had a guy who wanted to race me in high school. I had known him for, you know, since I was little. And he was not a very athletic guy. Not athletic at all. At least that's what I thought. But he, unbeknownst, well, I knew he joined track and stuff. But I think it was like my senior year. He goes, I'll race you, Henry. I don't know why. It was in school with people around. And I felt embarrassed for him. Because I was like the quickest guy, you know, on the soccer team. And I felt bad for him. But all through high school, he had been on the track team. And I didn't know you can get faster by being on the track team. And he was fast. There was a reason why. Training. He's trained. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. That means he doesn't lure. The voice that you hear to say, give into it, that's not his. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. But then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and when sin, when it fully groans, bring forth death. Count it all joy. Now, it's in the same context, you know, that same chapter. It says, when you meet trials of various kinds. It talks about temptation and trials in the same chapter, using the same word. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness stay in, have its full effect, that you may be perfect. So staying in the crucible, in the fire, so that you may be trained and transformed. Getting out of temptation, fleeing temptation, giving up stuff, taking it out of your room, shutting it off at night, whatever it is, however painful, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. All right, let's go to the last. Train to go into hard places and into unhappy circumstances with joy and contentment. For John chapter 15, 10 says, if you keep my commandments to go and to forgive and to pray for enemies, etc., you will abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be full. What Jesus is trying to teach us is to be happy in unhappy circumstances. I remember when I lost my mom. I've never felt such sadness. I was mourning. I remember the moment. I was at night. We were having Bible study. And the peace of God fell upon me. I didn't know that peace and joy could coexist with that level of sadness. I didn't. But I knew that it wasn't inside of me. It came from him. Point is, it's God who gives us joy on the path of obedience. And that is so delightful. It doesn't matter how hard the circumstances. That's what he wants to teach us. We don't have to rely on distraction. We don't have to rely on aromatherapy. And those are all good things. Even good vacations. But that true joy comes from him on the path of obedience. We'll close with this verse. It says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. The wonderful news here is if we follow him, he will do this. If you pick up our cross and follow him, he will cause us to go, to be people that we want to be, desperately want to be. So we, four things, train towards holiness, train to war for your identity in Christ by differentiating following true versus false desires. Train to stay faithful in trial or flee escape temptation on the path to obedience. And then train to go into hard places and people and into unhappy circumstances with joy and contentment. So in the next 3 weeks, so we'll cover these three areas of training, okay? The discipleship training will be broken out by these three areas, okay? Train to hear God, pray, delight, and be strengthened in solitude. Train to be relational, to fight, love, and work as a team. And train to serve and go toward our calling and gifting. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the good news, God, that you are inviting us, God, into this supernatural team, this fellowship that we have with you. And God, that you would even train us, and that you would, Lord, teach us to be happy in unhappy circumstances. God, thank you, God, that you don't give up on us. Thank you, God, that joy is always near. God, help us, Lord. Guide us and be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.